God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 6th day of August, 2006, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. We have a special treat this morning. The singers from the West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California are with us today, and I know you'll enjoy their music. And then Dr. Toby Weaver from Lancaster Baptist Church will bring the message. His primary scripture reference is from the book of Nehemiah. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. We hope you'll be blessed by today's service.
Precious Redeemer, the one and the only Rock of salvation, the one perfect man. Once slain for sinners, yet he rose again. He is wonderful, powerful, awesome, amazing, the Savior that I will forever be praising. He conquered death, his grace conquered sin. Forever and ever, amen. Forever and ever, amen.
Good morning, we're the Harvest Time Quartet from West Coast Baptist College all the way in Lancaster, California. My name is Carl Stein. I'm a junior from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, majoring in evangelism.
My name is Carrie Rule. I'm from Orange City, Florida, and I'm a junior studying church ministries.
My name is Christian Santos. I'm majoring in pastoral theology, and I'm a junior from San Diego, California.
My name is Crystal Bowen. I'm from Sumter, South Carolina. I'm a graduate of West Coast with a major in secondary education.
At the piano, we have Mark Bookout. He's a sophomore from Festus, Missouri, majoring in music.
He is wonderful, powerful, awesome, amazing, the Savior that I will forever be praising. He conquered death, his grace conquered sin. Forever and ever, amen. Forever and ever, amen. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. His name is Jesus, the grace and the glory. Precious Redeemer, the one and the only Rock of salvation, the one perfect man. Once slain for sinners, yet he rose again. He is wonderful, powerful, awesome, amazing, the Savior that I will forever be praising. He conquered death, his grace conquered sin. Forever and ever, amen. Forever and ever, amen. He is wonderful. So powerful, he is awesome, so amazing, he is wonderful, powerful, awesome, amazing, the Savior that I will forever be praising. He conquered death, his grace conquered sin. Forever and ever, forever.
What a privilege to proclaim how my Lord who reigns on high set this lowly sinner free. It's the least that I can do after all he's given to me.
He's given me
given me strength to overcome.
He's given me joy,
yes, real joy,
greater than my heart could dream of. And if that's not enough, He's given me a home in heaven above. I'm giving Him praise, giving Him glory, giving Him the honor to His name. I'm giving Him thanks for the great story. What a privilege to proclaim how my Lord who reigns on high set this lowly sinner free. It's the least that I can do after all He's given to me.
He's given me grace.
He's given me love. He's given me peace like a river and given me strength to overcome.
He's given me joy,
yes, real joy,
greater than my heart could dream of. And if that's not enough, He's given me a home in heaven above. Yes, if that's not enough, He's given me a home in heaven above.
Thank you.
praise his name, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way.
For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful act. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his saving power.
Thank God I am free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. I've just started living, I found me a brand new life. I've changed my direction, he took away all my strife. I'm a newborn believer, it's a holy indwelling. My ways get brighter, my thoughts get lighter. I've just started living, thank God I am free.
I'm free,
like a bird out of prison.
Just started living,
I have a new life.
I'm living by faith,
I'm living by faith,
I'm living by faith,
I'm living by faith.
In Jesus above,
confiding in his great love, in his great love. Saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out I just started living. I'm living by faith.
I
found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Show me the way. Thank God I am free. Come by the way of the
gathered round the throne from every kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
This will be their song. We have come by the way of the cross. We have come by the way of the cross.
It is God, the thing I have done.
It's the blood of God's own Son. We have come by the way.
Been looking forward to this meeting for a long time. We've heard so many wonderful things about your church, and I'm excited not only about your transition time, but I'm excited about the new name of your church, the Skate World Baptist Church. It's a great church. You're going to have a great time there, and you'll be able to tell people where you are now. The Skate World, we're down there at the Skate World Baptist Church, and be sure to bring your skate so we can really get with it on Sunday mornings now. I love Sundays, don't you? It's something special. Boy, either you're going to have to build a brand new church, preacher, or some of these people are going to have to go home. You know, one of the two. And thank the Lord for this great church, Central Baptist Church. And we've heard about your pastor. And yesterday we got in early in the afternoon. Brother Lynn took our group, my wife and me, and our group out to eat. And I just started fellowshipping with Brother Lynn, with his wife, and quickly found out that your youth pastor, God has given him great wisdom. Great wisdom in here. Found out this morning over 75 teenagers came this morning. That's a sign of a great church. And this is a great church, and we're excited about what God is doing in your lives at this time. We'll say more about it in the message in just a few moments. My wife is here. Rita, if you'd stand, please. This is my wife, Rita, and she and I have been married 36 years. We have two children. They're both in ministry. We thank the Lord for that. Let me say just a quick word about the church and the college and about the material on the table, and the young people will come and sing, and we'll get right into the message. About 20 years ago in 1 month, Pastor and Mrs. Chapel were on vacation. At that time, Pastor was working for another church in Northern California as an assistant pastor, and he and his wife and family were driving through Lancaster, California. Lancaster is located in Southern California, about 75 miles northeast of Los Angeles proper. We're in the high desert. We're in the Antelope Valley. We're surrounded by mountains. It's a beautiful setting, way out in the desert. There are three reasons why you come to Lancaster Baptist Church or West Coast Baptist College. Number one, you come because of Lancaster Baptist Church. Your pastor brought his staff, and I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to seeing him and the others this coming summer. So you come to Lancaster, California for Lancaster Baptist Church, or you come because of the West Coast Baptist College. And I'll say a word about that in a moment. Or you come because we have a brand new Super Walmart. Those are the three reasons you'll come to Lancaster. Otherwise, don't come, okay? So you'll come for one of those three reasons, and we're just excited about what God has done. At any rate, Pastor and Mrs. Chapel were passing through Lancaster on a Wednesday night, and they said, it's Wednesday night. We need to stop for prayer meeting. And so they came into town and looking for a church, and they found a little church. Had 13 folks there. They were meeting in the balcony of that church, and they went into church, and the man in charge got up and said, you know, we don't have anybody to preach tonight. Is there anybody here that could bring a message? And Brother Chapel raised his hand and said, I could preach. And they said, oh, if you would, we'd appreciate it. And so he preached. And after church, they asked Brother Chapel to step outside. And as he stepped outside, they voted on him as the new pastor. That's the true story. And so he and Mrs. Chapel began praying about it. And a couple of months later, they accepted the call to Lancaster Baptist Church. And they came. And Pastor Chapel began knocking on at least 100 doors a day. 500 doors a week, and people began getting saved, and God has done just a miraculous thing in Lancaster, California, and we hope and pray that you'll come see us. And then 11 years ago, God laid it upon Pastor's heart to begin a Bible college, a Bible college with Baptist distinctives, and the word of the King James Bible, and soul winning being the main thing, and training young people like you're seeing and hearing sing this morning. We're excited about what God has done in these short 11 years. We're all about ministry. At the end of the hour, if you'll come out by the table, I'll say a word about it in a moment, and we'll be happy to fill out a card for you, a young person, so we can send propaganda. I mean stuff about the college, and we'll give you material today. Someone said we were on the East Coast, and someone said, "Why is it so far away?" Well, Carrie's from Florida. A year ago, God led Carrie to West Coast Baptist College, and she just had a few $100s, but God gave her two wonderful jobs and supplied every need, and she's probably got more money in the bank today than Reed and I have, and God met her need. Where God guides, He provides. And then we have a young lady from Sumter, South Carolina, who just graduated, and Crystal. And don't be afraid to let your children obey the will of God, and get good counsel from your pastor, from your youth pastor, get good counsel from your parents. And we just have a passion about West Coast Baptist College. It's just another option out there. And if God sends your young people our way, I guarantee you we'll love them like they're our own. And so come by the table today and receive information about West Coast Baptist College. And we'll be happy to serve you and looking forward to it. Let me tell you very quickly what's on the table out there. All kind of good things. We brought them a long way. We left Lancaster, California, May the 10th. I looked down at the odometer last night as we were pulling. Is it Ponca City? I like the Ponca City. I mean, you just want to Ponca somebody, you know? Ponca City. I like the name Ponca City. And as we were pulling in, I looked down at the odometer last night, 20,000 miles. 20,000 miles. We still have one more week left. Pray for us. Well, I'm excited about what God's going to do in this final week. Looking forward to it. And 20,000 miles, so we've come a long way, and we have toted. That's a good southern word, toted. We have toted this for you. We have brought it for you. Let me tell you very quickly what's on the table back here. I'm going to give Pastor a copy of this book for his wife. it's for your wife. I read this book, Preacher, and made me a better wife. It helped me. This little book, From My Heart to Yours, a devotional for ladies, written by Dr. David Gibbs' wife, Mrs. Gibbs. It's a wonderful book. It's out on the table. I love this book. I saw this in Pastor's Library this morning, Grace for Godly Living. It's out on the table. It's a beautiful book. This book for young people, and Brother Lynn and I talked about this at supper last night, Discover Your Destiny. I wish every teenager would read this book. I wish every college-age young person would read this book. I wish every mom and dad would read this book. It's powerful, chock full of scripture. All of our books, I appreciate what Preacher said. Our books are independent, fundamental Baptist books with substance. With substance, full of Bible. And you will profit by picking these up. I love this little book, What is a Biblical Fundamentalist by Pastor Chappell. It'll take you just a few minutes to read it, but it will educate you on what you are and who you are. I like what Crystal often says in her testimony. She came to West Coast Baptist College, and she said, I learned what I believe, why I believe it, and I can defend it. I like that. I like that a lot. What I believe, why I believe it, and I can defend it. That's very important. That's what we're all about. This little book is $5. Then, we sold out of this, but Mrs. Chappell just wrote, It's a Wonderful Life, a wonderful book for ladies. I wish you'd get this book. If you'd like this book, it's $20. I'll take your name and address. I will send it. I'll take care of the postage, the shipping, and the handling if you want it. Crystal and Carrie will be by the table. They'll take your name and address. And your money, and then I will mail this to you free of charge. But I'm sorry, we're out. It has sold like hot cakes. Then we have these wonderful CDs. Victory is one, the college choir, 250 voices, a 40-piece orchestra, fully orchestrated. You ought to just play this all the time at home on your commute. And as you're going out in Ponca City, people in the mouth, and play this all the time. I love this, Streams in the Desert. Streams in the Desert, just a beautiful CD, and it's out there. Didn't you enjoy Mark's playing a while ago, How Great Thou Art? He can just, that thing, when he plays the piano sometimes, smoke just starts coming out of that thing. And I mean, he can just play it up a storm. If you like that kind of music, and I do, it'll build you, it'll build your home, it'll build your church. He Restoreth My Soul, it has that kind of music on it, it's fully instrumental. The CDs are $14 a piece. Or 4 for 44, or 5 for 50, or 10 for 100, or whatever, okay? And if you'll see us, we'll take checks, make it up to WCBC, and if you'll have two forms of identification, we'll take cash, okay? So if you'll do all that. Just kidding, huh? Everybody's saying, I can tell that guy's from California. All righty. So, young people, if you'll come, please, and sing two more, and then we'll get right into the message. Everybody, it's a great day, isn't it? I'm excited about what's God. You know, we're in exciting churches every night, and every Sunday we're in a couple of exciting churches. But I'll tell you, this is one of the most exciting. And tucked away up here in northeastern Oklahoma. And thank the Lord for what God is doing here. And I'm looking forward to preaching in just a few moments. And I'm asking God, I've been praying. I ask God to give me something very special for this time, because I don't take it lightly what God is doing in this place. And neither do we. I was thinking this morning, and I jotted down a thought about our ministry, what God has done for us these over 13 weeks. And just a thought or two before getting into the message. I must never be weary of ministry. I can be weary in ministry, but I can never be weary of ministry. How many of us are involved in a ministry? You sing in the choir, you teach a Sunday school class, you work in the nursery, you provide any kind of service at all for Central Baptist Church. Would you raise your hand? That's a blessing. Just a quick admonition, and the Lord placed this on my heart this morning. I must never be weary of ministry. Every night we're in a different home or a motel, a different pillow every night, a different bed every night, and a different city. I ask myself two questions every morning. Where am I and what day is this? Every morning, where am I and what day is this? I have to go through this mental thing every day. And if we're not careful, God will give us ministry like Central Baptist Church. And if we're not careful, we'll get tired of it. We must never take advantage of the fact that God has given us a ministry. And God has given everybody a gift. Every one of us should be involved in something, be it soul winning, telling people about the Lord, inviting people to Central Baptist Church, helping with this transition that you're getting ready to get into, the movement of the pews and the chairs and the desk and everything else that you've got to do. It'll be a mammoth undertaking, but it'll be a great joy. It'll be a great joy if we'll buy into the truth. I must never be tired or weary of ministry. I can get tired in ministry, and that's okay, because the Word of God says, and the Lord gave me this thought, the outward man perisheth. The outward man does get tired, but the inward man is renewed day after day. There's a beautiful scripture in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 23. It talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. I was thinking this morning earlier and last night about how good God has been to us and things that happen on the road. It's funny. The young people and my wife are so patient with me. I'll be going the wrong way and they'll go and different things like, you know, do you... You know, are you brain dead or what? Do you know where you are? And they've been so patient with me. And funny things happen. They just do. A few weeks ago, we were in a motel down in Florida. We've been in Miami twice. We've been in the Washington, D.C. area three times and everything in between. And we were in a motel, and the girls were staying next to Rita and me, and the boys were somewhere on the back 40 in that motel. And the girls called the room, and they said, Brother Weaver, somebody's trying to get in our room. And they were panicked. And so, man, I got up all the strength I could, and I busted the door open. And before I saw who was there, I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And it was two little girls. And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Somebody's already here." But these two little girls were with bigger girls and bigger guys. I found out later, and some kids were messing with the girls. They were calling them and really scaring them. In fact, the girls had put their luggage and the beds and everything else outside the door, and they were scared. But pretty soon I found out that it was a track team, a 40-member all-state track team, these big guys that were messing. And so I said, "I'm scared." And so I called the guys. I said, "Where are you guys?" And one of them said, "We're at Walmart. We've been to every Walmart in America." And I said, "You got to hurry up and get over here." I said, "Man, I'm guarding the fort by myself." Boy, they came over and they pulled up. They had bags of stuff. I thought maybe they had machetes, machine guns, bazookas. And I said, "What's in the bag?" And Carl said, "Well, we have Twinkies and we have we're going to whip these guys with Twinkies." And finally, the coach's wife, little bitty lady, she said, "I'll take care of it." Boy, she did. I mean, she really took care of it. And so, you know, traveling is really a unique experience. And we were in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, last week. Elizabeth City is way out in the Outer Banks by the Atlantic Ocean. And we got to a church, a little country church. We got there early. And it was hot. It's hot out there, just like it's hot everywhere. I mean, man, it was hot. We got there. We had about an hour before the pastor was going to come in. And so we said, let's just relax a little bit. And the young people started practicing the piano and reading. And I was walking around the church, and I was just exhausted. Just exhausted. And I found the nursery. And I walked in the nursery and carpeted. And the air conditioning was going. You know how it does? I said, I'm going to lie down right here on this carpet. I'm going to sleep for an hour. And I was lying there, and you talk about peaceful. I was almost gone out, but I said, I need a pillow. I looked behind me, and there was a stuffed tiger. And I grabbed the stuffed tiger, Brother Lynn, and I put my head on it, and I said, this is the ticket. And I was almost asleep when I moved my head, and the tiger went, good morning, boys and girls. This is the Tigger. I thought the rapture had taken place, man. And so we've had God's been good to us, and please pray for us these last few days as we make our way across the country. Somebody said, what's the most important meeting? This one. This one. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Nehemiah, chapter number 1. As you're turning there, just a bit of background. The walls of Jerusalem are in ruins. The gates are charred and burned in there. They're rotting. And the Jewish survivors are living in distress in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, who was a guy, not a preacher, he's a guy. He works for the government. He's a cupbearer. He gets up every Monday and goes to work just like you do. You see, tomorrow morning, we're going to get in the van. We're going to talk about this church. We're going to talk about Pastor and his wife and Brother Lynn and their family, the new baby, and going over and eating at that meat place yesterday. That what was the name of that place? What is it? Man, about halfway through, I just start rubbing it all over my head. Man, that's good stuff. And over there and spending time with you and seeing what God is doing in this great church. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. It'll be the topic of conversation as we're driving. Tomorrow morning, you'll go to work and hear God's name taken in vain. You'll go to work and hear people tell dirty stories about their weekend. You'll go to places tomorrow and you don't have the luxury of what we do. And so you need strength for tomorrow. You need strength for every day. And Nehemiah went to work every day as a cupbearer. But God put something in his heart one time. Like I'm praying that God will put in your heart, in my heart today. And Nehemiah returns from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he says over and over, he says this statement, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He said it over and over and over. You see, there are several thieves that want your joy. The thief of people. Sometimes God's people can be ugly. I hate to say it, but it's just the truth. And they'll rob you of your joy if you're not careful. Don't let people take your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. People will try to take your joy from time to time. You'll go out in the city. Did you know as you cross Hartford Avenue, people try to kill me today.
That's right.
They don't care about Central Baptist Church. They just want roadkill. You know, that's where they got that Ponca City thing from, maybe. I don't know, but people will take your joy. Circumstances will take your joy. You get sick. You get laid off. You get a bad report. Somebody will disappoint you. And circumstances will rob you of your joy. Don't let those things rob you of your joy. Things will rob you of your joy. This is a massive crowd today. I mean, we got people sitting everywhere. But the preacher knows today that there are some folks in his church, in this church, that they've gotten wrapped up in things and they're not here today because of things. And the thing, the boat, And so somebody said to me one time, yeah, pray for me. I bought this boat and got it every Sunday. And he said, ha, ha, but I named the boat Visitation. So I'm out on Visitation. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you're out on Visitation. You may be out on Visitation, but you're also out of your mind. To slap the Lord upside the head like that and to disregard Sunday and the assembly and the local assembly and gathering together. Nehemiah knows something about this joy of the Lord. Now with that, let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. This is a beautiful little town. Ponca City is beautiful. I've laughed about it. We've laughed. But it's a beautiful little town. But I want to tell you something today. People out there are living in reproach. And they need the Lord. They need the Lord. They're living in reproach and in affliction. If you're not saved, you're living in great affliction. You're afflicted because hell is your destination. If you're not saved. And people in Ponca City need the Lord. They need Central Baptist Church, a responsive church, a happy church, a joyful church. This is a joyful church. I mean, you know how to laugh. You're not afraid of transition. God has, and the leadership here, God has given you wonderful leadership. Amen? God has gifted you with that. He has given that to you. And there's something different here. There's a unique flavor about this church. There's something unique, uniquely supernatural going on in Ponca City, Oklahoma, at the Central Baptist Church. Now, I counted this morning, I've been in 106 churches since September. Now, I'm not an expert on church growth, but I'm an expert on knowing something's going on. I am an expert on that, and something good is happening here. The great affliction and reproach in this town, as wonderful as this is, there are people out there who need the Lord. And here's a spiritual hospital. You can come in no matter how you are. You're welcome. You come in no matter what you look like, no matter what you have on, no matter what your lot in life is. This is a spiritual hospital. And people need, Ponca City needs that. And here's a place where people can come in and get saved. And here's a group of people that can go out and help people get saved. Nehemiah had a burden. He said, the walls, he says, my city is in great affliction and reproach. Could you today take a good, long, hard look at your city? Could you take a good, hard look at your neighborhood? It's in great reproach and affliction. People need the Lord. People need this church. People need it. You found it. Somebody found you with the gospel. You got saved. You're joyful here. Let's not let this be a secret in this area. Amen? Amen? The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, Nehemiah said, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I'm going to give you in just a moment results of prayer. So hang on. And he said, and I said, verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. Here he is praying, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Still praying, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. I would call on the Central Baptist Church in this transition time to pray day and night. To pray day and night. Let it be in your thinking. Savor it. Let it be in your heart to pray day and night. Pray for Pastor Waterloo. Pray for Brother Lynn. Pray for the staff. Pray for the music. Pray for all of it. Pray for that continuity and that unity. Pray about it all the time. We have not because we ask not. And we'll talk about it in just a moment. Let thine eye now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee both now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts, please. Help us to be moved by the word of God, by the teaching of the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. I put in the front of my Bible all kind of things to help me, to motivate me. I have the verse, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I wrote it in my Bible this morning, I must never be weary of ministry. I can be weary in ministry, yes, but not ever weary of ministry. So some people get weary of teaching the Sunday school class and they quit. Some people get weary of singing and they quit the choir. Some people get weary of cleaning the building and they quit. Some people get weary of the bus ministry and they bail. Well, we mustn't ever get weary of ministry. In ministry, okay. And I put the outward man perisheth, and the inward man is renewed day after day in the spirit of the mind. And I have these little sayings. I have this little saying, I wonder where I'm going to bury my heart. Where will my heart be buried? Could be in Lancaster. That's what God has for us right now. West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church. That's where my heart is. It's a passion because of what God is doing with young people there. Where is God going to bury my heart? I put in my Bible, if I drown, please look for me upstream. Don't let me drown downstream. If I drown, at least let me be going upstream. See, I put things like that, and I put this in my Bible. Leaders can't stand to leave things the way they found them. Leaders can't stand to leave things the way they found them. Everywhere my wife goes, she's fixing things, straightening pictures. Wiping something off. Leaders can't stand to leave things the way they found them. That's why we instruct our kids, when you leave a home, be sure the bed is made. Be sure you folded this. Be sure you wipe the mirror. Be sure you've wiped the vanity. Be sure you do this. Be sure you do that. Be sure you do that. Because leaders can't stand to leave things the way they found them. And I put those things in my Bible and many more things that I could take time to read to you. But the key, dear church, the key is not motivational statements, although they're important, to help you wake up. I remember reading a book one time. It said, you don't need as much sleep as you think you do. It said, all you need is about 3 hours. Go to bed at 1, get up at 4. And when you get up, sit up straight in bed, say, this is going to be a great day today. And I said, that sounds pretty good. And so I read that book, and the first morning I worked, and adrenaline was going, and 4 o'clock the alarm went off, and I sat straight up in bed, and I said, hot diggity, this is going to be a great day today. Man, I went about my day and got all kind of stuff done, preacher. And I did the same thing the next day, and the third day, the third morning, I woke up, and I sat straight up in bed, and I said, this is stupid. So we can talk about motivation. This message is not a motivational message. This is a message on prayer. Because let's take all of the motivational things and push them aside for a moment. Let's push all of it aside. Let's take all these self-help books and push them aside just for a moment. And let's take this self-help book and go to this one. Here's a self-help book. Was that your dad teaching Sunday school class this morning? That was a great lesson, man. That was a great lesson. And he made a great statement this morning about Joel Osteen's church out there in Houston. Someone said, man, we love his church. We hadn't been convicted yet. See, to me, it's not church unless somebody stepped on my toes. And if you're looking for a place where nobody's going to step on your toes, there are a lot of those kind of places. They'll pat you on the back and rub your little head and say everything's going to be okay. But I want to tell you something. Everything ain't going to be okay. The Lord's coming. And what we do, we got to have a sense of urgency, about it. And so this man, he said, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down, I wept, and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I want to give you this morning 4 results of prayer. And I want to challenge you to pray. I want to challenge you to pray for your preacher. Pray for the staff. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. We do everything but pray. We try to manipulate each other. We try to manipulate our kids. We bribe them. We give them computers. We give them cell phones. We give. We're afraid of our kids. We ought to look them right in the face and say, I love you enough to pray for you, and I love you enough. I love you enough to love you enough. And we ought to love our spouses. We need to pray for each other. You'll fall back in love if you pray. If you pray for each other and with each other. I remember we used to be over there at the other church on, what's this, Hartford? Roadkill Avenue out there? I remember we used to be, no. When you make this move, get excited. But pray. Dear Lord, on the first day we meet, help me to have somebody with me in church. Help me to bring someone with me that day. God bless Pastor. Look, it's tough enough. And Pastor didn't ask me what I'm preaching. He just said, you're preaching. It's tough enough being the pastor without all of a sudden this monumental building thing on his shoulders. Along with people being in the hospital, getting along with each other, and a multitude of everything else. Pray for your preacher. Pray. Pray for your preacher. Pray for your class extra. Now, what are the results of prayer? What can I expect? What can be accomplished as I decide I'm going to pray? If we took a poll this morning, let's don't because I'd be embarrassed. If we took a poll this morning on how long have we prayed this week, add it up in your thinking, would you please? Let's make it personal. I'll make mine, you make yours, between me and God, between you and God. Add it up. Anybody make it 3 hours? Now, I'm preaching. And I'm saying, Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I'd like to have some great and mighty things. I'd like to have some things that I didn't even know God was going to give me. But God is saying, Toby, all you got to do is call. Isn't that something? You have not because you ask not. And God is saying, just call. And yet we spend more time worrying and fretting than praying. We spend more time chewing our fingernails all the way down to our elbows than praying. We spend more time running here and there than kneeling, don't we? And I'm saying today that as your church explodes in growth, keep the main thing. Prayer, Bible reading, soul winning, tithing. If everybody tithes, preacher, it's a done deal, isn't it? If everybody tithes, it's a done deal. That's why God commanded us to tithe. He didn't say, I need 11%. He said 10%. Good night. He's given us 90. Do you understand that? 90? That's a lot. That's more than 89. God's not stingy. And giving. I've been so convicted on my faith giving. So convicted. And when your own kids are called to the mission field, it puts a different slant on stuff, you know. I'm so ashamed of myself for the way I've treated missionaries before. Now, what are the results? Result number one. Prayer will deepen my ownership of the need. Prayer will deepen my ownership of the need. You need another place. You need more room. You need it. If I were a member of this church, preacher, I'd have you back. I'd drive down yonder to that site, and I'd park in my car there, and I'd pray because I'm going to give to it. Prayer increases; it increases your ownership of the need. I worked in retail for many years. Bless my heart, you know, retail, and I would teach the people that worked for me, own that display, own that back wall. Own that. Pastor Chappell often says, Brother Weaver, I want you to call Bill and Vi Jones. I want you to own them. You know what he's saying? There's a couple that's hurting. Now, Brother Weaver, I want you to take them. I want you to go by. I want you to see them. Take them out to eat. Do something. Help them. Love them. Own them. Do you own your Sunday school class? Do you own your position in the choir? You better not sit in my seat. Huh? You own it? Prayer will help. Prayer will deepen my ownership. You know why I love what I'm doing, young people? I prayed about it. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about it so I can own it. There's a second accomplishment. Prayer will quieten my heart. It'll help me to wait. It'll slow me down so I can hear from God. We live in Los Angeles. It's the Indianapolis 500 24 hours a day. It's crazy. I have never seen the hustle and the bustle. People who live in the Antelope Valley leave at 3 in the morning to get to work in Los Angeles, 75 miles away, the commute. They're on the road 20-some hours a week on the road, hustling. And our lives are so, I mean, high-speed internet, cell phone, laptop. It's amazing. Remember when we were growing up? Leave It to Beaver. I Love Lucy. Remember that? Remember sitting out on the front porch, drinking iced tea with Mom and Dad, and catching lightning bugs? What's a lightning bug? How many megabytes has that got? You know? It's a different day. It's a different day. And we're here, and we're there, and our schedules are so whacked out. We got to slow down. We got to slow down and pray. And when we do, we'll hear from God. I just don't hear from God. Slow down. That's why you need church tonight. That's why you need Wednesday night church. Is that tonight you have prayer meeting, preacher? It's the prop. Remember we used to wash clothes? You take a little stick with a nail in it and prop the clothes up. How many remember that? The old prop.
What's that got to do with the electric dryer?
Nothing. It had the prop, man. That's what Wednesday night's all about. It's the prop. It props you up in the middle of the week. You don't have to pray about that. You just have to be obedient. I see number three. Prayer. I'm calling on as a guest, as a visitor, but somebody that quickly fell in love with that man right back there talking at supper and learned to love his preacher through that guy. And just, we might not ever see each other again this side of eternity, but when we do, I want to say, hey, did you pray? Did you get it? Prayer will clear my vision. I can see what God wants me to do if I pray. I wonder who I ought to marry. I wonder which one's the prettiest one. You better pray. I wonder which one's the cutest one. Hey, look, I used to be cute too. Bald-headed, halfway retarded. And then prayer. Prayer will give me courage. Prayer will give me courage to act. Prayer. It'll give me courage. I was looking this morning earlier at the book of Joshua. And for sake of time, you don't need to turn back there. I just want to share a thought or two. When I was reading from Joshua this morning, he said, only be thou strong and courageous. And God said to Joshua, he said, I'll not leave you, I'll not forsake you. I guarantee you, there are teenagers here today that are hurting. I guarantee you. From broken homes, mom and dads get into it. You're frustrated. They're frustrated. You wonder, what can I do? Well, you can honor. One thing you can do, you can honor mom and dad. Another thing you can do, you can pray. You can pray. Dear God, help my mother. Help my dad. Help him. You know, I don't understand teenagers. I certainly don't understand women. I certainly don't. But I need to pray for my wife. I need to pray for our children, our grandchildren. I need to pray for these young people. I need to pray for preachers. You know Tom Williams? Brother Tom Williams is an evangelist. Has a wife who has been in a vegetated state for about 30 years. Tom Williams. He probably prays 7 hours a day. Literally. Literally. Pray. Pray. I can pray. There's some things I can't play the piano like that. I certainly can't sing like that. I can't preach like John Getch, others, but I can pray. To me, it's the missing ingredient in today's fast-paced, crazy 2006 is just stopping and praying. Just stopping and praying. It's my sincere prayer that as you seek the Lord in prayer, that you'll see that God has all this and more for you. Has so much. I remember as a bus kid preacher, and I love seeing your buses back there, living out in the country in Virginia, faithful bus workers coming by, knocking on our door, and getting my brother and me to ride that bus. And I remember getting to church, and we'd come and we'd sit in Sunday school, and then we'd sneak out and play ball. Then we'd come back in time to get baptized. And then we'd get something to eat. They'd take us home. I remember old Ron and Doris Perry. Ron was a Coca-Cola truck driver. His wife was a housewife. How they prayed for my brother and me. They'd come in our house and pull dirty clothes back and put us on that bus. They'd chase us out in the woods down by the creek, put us on that bus. They prayed for us. I remember being up in a tree on Halloween night with my brother scaring kids way back in 64, 65. And Ron and Doris found my brother and me up in a tree, invited us to a revival service. Oliver B. Green was preaching that night. I got saved as a result of prayer. Do you have somebody you're praying for? Praying for your children. Children can break your heart. Mom and dad can break your heart. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus praying all night. And he looked back at the disciples and he said, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching words, could you not watch with me one brief hour? We can meet him. I'll close with this illustration. When Rita and I started dating, we were students at Tennessee Temple College in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I met her on a blind date. A guy called me at work and he said, let's double date. And so we did. And had a wonderful time. Then we just started casually dating. And we started walking around the block. We just talk. And I got to know her walking around the block. I got to know her because I talked to her and spent time with her. And now these 36 years later, two children, one grandbaby, another one on the way. God wants to do so much for us, doesn't he? Doesn't he? If you leave today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you need to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know without you, I'll die and go to hell. But right now, by faith, I come to you, Jesus. I trust you and you alone. For by grace have I come. And I put my complete faith and trust in you, dear Jesus. Don't leave this room this morning without praying that prayer. There are people here who help you. There are people here who love you enough to take a moment and do that. I admire Carrie Rule. Last year she came to college as a 19-year-old young lady. She was there a week or so and she realized, I've never done that. I've never really trusted Christ. And she was a sophomore in Bible college and she took care of it. I pray that today you and I would have courage to pray. And we'd take these four results of prayer and we'd bathe Ponca City and Central Baptist Church and Pastor Waterloo and the staff and each other and your choir and your teachers and your ministry. Bathe it in prayer. It is the key. Prayer will unlock obedience. It unlocks it. You don't have to pray about tithing. You don't have to pray about telling people about the Lord. You don't have to pray about giving people a gospel tract. You don't have to pray about that. We've been commanded. But as you pray, God gives you courage to do those things. He'll help you, and He wants to. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, shall we? Thank you for listening so intently. May I ask this morning this simple question? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? May I ask, have you trusted Christ in your heart? You know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, if the rapture were to take place today, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, heaven is your home. You've cared for that. You've cared for that. And as a testimony and praising the Lord, would you just raise your hand up all over the room? As a testimony, I'm saved. I know I am. Thank you. Put them down. Who would say today, preacher, I appreciate what you said and the honesty of it and the sincerity. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not 100% sure. If you're not 100%, if you're 99%, you need to make it 100%. You'd say, preacher, today I'm just not positive. Please pray for me. We'll pray for you. I promise you we'll pray for you. Would you slip up your hand all over the room? I'm not 100% sure. I'm just not. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Okay. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And you raise your hand. An invitation is where we ask you to step out and shake the hand of someone, and they'll show you how you can know for sure. Are you a child of God, but this matter of prayer has been neglected? And this morning, from the life of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord was his strength because of prayer. And the prayer has been neglected. There are areas, there are deficiencies in the area of prayer. And you'd have courage enough this morning to say, I have a deficiency, an area of weakness, and I'm going to get back to the matter of prayer. I'm going to do it. I'm going to carve out a time where I pray, where I read my Bible. I'm going to do it. I've done it. I'm going to increase it. I have not been doing it. I'm going to take care of this area of my Christian life so I can walk with God. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. All over the room. All over the room. In the balcony. In the balcony. God speaks to people in the balcony. Let's stand, shall we please? Everyone standing. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to be singing softly and tenderly, Jesus is Calling. It's page 280 in your songbook. Respond quickly. If you raised your hand for salvation, whatever you raised your hand for, we'll sing. I'll turn it completely over to preacher in just a moment. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Please help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come, please, as we're singing?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and our special guest speaker, Dr. Toby Weaver with the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, Oklahoma, I hope you'll stop by 6th and Hartford and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.